I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to the Big Show 5-0. Bart Cop Radio, as heard on the Bart Cop Radio Network. Often heard on BartCop.com. We're not citywide, we're not statewide, we're not regional, we're not sectional, we're not national. We be worldwide. This is Show 50. We think it's a good one. I promised you a while back that by the time we got to 50, we'd be better. I guess you'll be the judge. You see, what we did to be sure that Show 50 was going to be really, really good, we took the last four Jon Stewart shows and copied them, and that's today's two-hour show. Got so much to do. Big, big, long show. Let's get started. Give me a little Chinako out of the way. God was in a good mood when he made the Chinako. Bart's Law number two just popped in my head because I screwed it up twice. I've had to do three shots. Every time I make a mistake, I get rewarded with another shot. Okay, so much to get into. Let's go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
During the convention, there's a lot of talk about the blogs and what good they do and how their function is different from the media whores who are paid by multi-billion dollar conglomerates to spin the news this way or that way. And I caught up with a whole bunch of whining by the biggest of the big. We'll start out with Susan Page, who's not that big, and then we'll move into the anchors, since this is a USA Today story. She says, "The scrutiny has been intense for more than a decade on all sides," says Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief of USA Today. "It was relentless in 92 when some Republicans complained that the news media were giving Clinton a free ride." Oh yeah, all through 92. All through 92, a free ride for Clinton. Is that when one of the tabloids paid Jennifer Flowers, I think it was $10,000 or $20,000, to call a press conference and say she'd been blowing the governor? Now, yeah, that's given Clinton a complete ride. That was everywhere. That was front page news on every newspaper in America, and she's whining about the free ride they gave Clinton. Through the 94 congressional elections, the impeachment battle, the 2000 campaign, I don't think it has ever eased up from activists on the right and left. Lady, you are lying. What the hell kind of pressure are you getting from the left? All the pressure you're getting is from the right. The Freepers, the Republicans, the Republican National Committee, it's just constant pressure that you whores cave into constantly. You don't have anywhere near the middle of the road on your mind. You are entirely driven by the right wing. And don't try to deny it, because I'll slap you. It's just a fact of life for reporters. You try to be fair, but if you want to be loved, you know, get a dog. She is lying. She wants to be loved by the Freepers and the Republicans. That's why they always spin things Bush's way. That said, increased media scrutiny was a main theme last week at the pre-Democratic Convention Seminar at Harvard featuring Rather, Brokaw, and Jennings. Oh, God. Jim Lehrer, who's the least of the bad, and CNN's Judy Woodruff. That, you know what. Rather was first out of the gate. "We get paid to catch hell," he lied. "But the number of those who are prepared to pay the price for that has gotten fewer." Oh, listen to him. Dan Rather, the martyr, always with the facts, no matter what the pressure. Dan Rather, thy name is whore. "And those few who are willing to do it less often than they once did." Rather didn't single out any group because he's a pussy who's afraid. See, the paragraph just before, there's just a few of us willing to stand up to the bullies, and then in the next paragraph, "Oh, I don't want to single out anybody because they'll get mad." What a whore, Rather. You're not on our side. Get the hell out of here. Rather didn't single out any group, but said, "If you touch one of the most explosive issues, they have instant response teams that will be all over you." No, the Republicans do. The Democrats lay down and wet themselves. This creates an undertow in which sometimes your boss or somebody on your staff will say, you know what, we run the story and we're asking for trouble with a capital T. Why do it? Why not just pass on by? That happens. I'm sorry to report. Hey, Dan, how many times has George Bush been arrested? Can you tell me, Dan? No, you can't, because you're too pussy to ask. You're afraid to ask. You don't have any balls, Dan. You're standing there talking about what a great champion you are, willing to put up with the fire and the heat. Oh, please, do your damn job once and can you do your job once a year? What do you say once a year? You ask the tough questions, Dan. Am I asking too much? Could you do your job once a year, Dan? No, you can't. 365, you're pro-Bush. Or if you're not pro-Bush, you're not asking the questions. Dan, that 2 million barrels a day in Iraq, who's getting that money, Dan? Do you know? No, you don't know because you're afraid to ask. Jennings spoke of a wave of resentment, particularly by conservative voices these days. Well, there's a little bit of honesty. He was at least willing to say more than rather. Oh, God, I just said something nice about Peter Jennings. Oh, I got to take a shower. Conservative voices these days that rushes at the advertiser, rushes at the corporate suites, and gets under the news anchor skin, if not completely, in the decision-making process to a greater degree than it has before. This is true. The lady at the Chewies, or Choi's, whatever it was, in Austin, that called the police when an illegal drinker was trying to break the law in her place, and the Freepers got together and they harassed that lady and printed her name and address and everything on, you know, worldwide so the whole world could go after that poor lady. Whoopi Goldberg had the gall to do some jokes about Bush, so the Freepers swamped the Slim Fast, whoever that is, and made them give her up because they don't have any balls. But the biggest problem is the Democrats, we don't want it bad enough. We could all get together and get Dennis Miller fired from some gig, but no, that wouldn't be nice. That wouldn't be polite. We refuse to play the hardball. We just want to play softball. If they want to play hardball, well, we just take the bruises when a ball hits us, and then we go home crying. We don't even have a fight. We've got one side that fights and one side that surrenders. Boy, I hate to be a Democrat. Said Brokaw, it's left to right across the spectrum. He's fucking lying. Go to hell, Brokaw. You're just a lying whore. It's left to right across the spectrum. You are lying. But these pressures have always been there. It's just now that there are these tools that make them kind of a tsunami. Brokaw said, organized campaigns don't affect what airs on nightly news. You are a liar, Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw is a liar. Liar and Brokaw equal the same thing. Hey, Tom, how many times has Bush been arrested? You can't tell me because you're afraid to ask because you want to be nice to Karl Rove. And if Karl Rove doesn't pat you on the head, you go home crying. Hey, Tom, 2 million barrels a day. Who's getting that money, Tom? You can't tell me. How about, you know, when we first invaded, every few days they'd find a cache of gold or a trunk with, you know, $700,000. Who got that money, Tom? Can you tell me, Tom? You can't because you're afraid to ask because you're on Bush's team. Brokaw said, I can't remember a time in the newsroom in which we said we better back off because we don't want to trigger that. Well, then, Tom, answer the question. How many times has Bush been arrested? Why don't you do a special on how the 2000 election got called? I just watched, well, it was in Michael Moore's movie, but it was also in that great, great piece, Outfoxed, where they explained that, you know, all four networks were sitting on there. The Bush cousin at Fox News called the election, and because the other three are such whores, they had no intention at all of getting it right. They had every intention of getting it first or second. They explained it better out Fox than I'd ever heard it before. Let's say, because I don't know the specifics, let's say at 2 a.m. Eastern Time, they released a flood of information. They released, you know, like precinct reports from whatever. They just released a flood, a giant, giant flood of information that nobody on the planet could process in the next few minutes. But that Bush cousin at Fox News, when they released this pack of this monster tsunami, here we go, of data, that guy at Fox News immediately called it for Bush. And it's impossible for anyone to have sifted through that data and processed it. He just took a guess and went for his cousin. So ABC, CBS, CNN, and whoever I left out, they just ran right to the, get out of my way, I gotta have a camera, give me a microphone, Bush 1. And they said in Outfoxed, and I believe them, that is what made Bush the president. As soon as they all screamed Bush 1, then the right got together, the right wing Freepers, they all got together and started calling Gore the sore loser. You lost, Al, now get out of here, quit lying, quit trying to steal what's rightfully Georgia's. All that was because the networks are whores, and they immediately went with the Bush cousin's prediction, which was always a hand job from the start. Don't you ever let anyone tell you that any of the networks has a slice of credibility. BarCop.com is more honest than any of those sons of bitches. And I just hate that they've got all the power, and I've got, you know, 1/10 of 1/10 of 1% of 1% of power, and the network can get up there and just lie their lying asses off and affect the nation's history. Jeez, I hate that. Continuing on, Lair and Woodruff agreed. People are really hating right now, Lair said. Our email and our phone calls reflect not a lot of open minds out there. I wish they didn't hate each other, but that's not my problem. Oh, way to go there, said Woodruff. Oh. The decisions we make about what we're going to cover and how we're going to approach stories can't change because people out there are fighting each other. You are such a whore. Why can you not see the facts in front of your... Well, you can see them. You just choose to ignore them. Hey, Judy, how many times Bush been arrested? You can't tell me because you're afraid to ask. Karen Hughes said, don't ask how many times Bush has been arrested. And you said, yes, ma'am, like a good little puppy. Little puppy slut is what you are, Judy Woodruff. And not to single you out, but every one of you. Think of the anal probe that Clinton got for 10 long years and continues today, and we have no idea how many felonies Bush has been convicted of. We have no idea in this world because the press is afraid to ask. And I know you're tired of hearing me harping on it. I don't care. It's just the quickest example, and when they say we're not biased, well, then answer that question. See, immediately, they're in trouble. They can't answer that question. Maybe they feel guilty about the anal probe that they put on Clinton, but that's no excuse for us not knowing how many felonies the man that we're trusting the nation to, the man that's keeping the nation's secrets and keeping the nation's secrets from us. We can't find out where the money went with Halliburton because then Bin Laden wins. So they're going to take a few hundred billion out of our future and do whatever they want with it. And you think I'm kidding about those 20 million or the 2 million barrels a day? That's almost $100 million a day in Iraq that's going nowhere that we know of. The House is afraid to ask. The Senate's afraid to ask. The media won't ask, where's that money going? Everybody's too afraid to ask because they're afraid they might offend Mr. Bush or Mr. Rove. And that's the Cardinal's number one rule in Washington. Do not anger Mr. Rove. You anger Mr. Rove, and they're either going to get you fired, or they'll shoot you in the head, or they'll knock out your airplane from the sky. Don't you dare cross the BFEE. This just pisses me off. This ongoing bullshit hand job we're getting, will it ever end? You know, you'd think maybe Michael Moore's movie would change something. Maybe this outfoxed DVD will change a little something. Maybe I haven't seen the Connison movie yet, because I don't know why they're distributing it in drips and drabs. Someone said it was in Hawaii. You know, I mean, come on, open the damn movie. Show us what you got. It would be nice if somehow, somewhere in the whole entire media, somebody was held accountable for any of this stuff. But the media is about as accountable as the Bush Empire, and I hate that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a moment with George W. Bush. Watch and enjoy.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
I want to put up the terror question that was out in the Time poll when asked, again, would the Bush administration use a terrorism alert for political reasons? 54% said no, they wouldn't use terror for political reasons. But 38% said, yeah, they might. Why is that? What's your
feeling? You might get 38% saying, you know, Bush is willing to kidnap John Kerry. I mean, look, there is a big chunk of the electorate that is negative on the president, I think. I think the majority number there may be the more revealing one. In this polarized atmosphere, I think that isn't a bad showing for Bush. And the fact is that Kerry, of course, kept his distance from that charge, I think, revealingly.
Except that we kept, as we were interviewing people across the country this week, we kept hearing this suspicion voiced again and again. And I think they opened themselves a little bit to it with the way that the news came out and the fact that it was only the day after the announcement that we found out that a lot of this data was 3 years old.
That did. That Tom Ridge intermingled it with a plug for the Bush policies, which probably wasn't
which
the wisest.
They objected to in the Kerry campaign. Yeah.
Exactly.
But the fact is, even after they got caught lying about this, the right wing and the networks and the talk radio Nazis and the giant newspapers, they all stood behind the incredible liar saying, well, that's okay. They were probably planning the 9/11 attacks back in 97, so it's okay if we use four-year-old intelligence to yank the momentum out from under the Democrats. Sure, that's okay. even when they get caught, even when they get caught red effing handed, people just make excuses and the press drops it and everybody moves on. How many times are these criminals going to get caught? The idea that 54% thinks the president would not use terror for political advantage, well, gee, that leaves the other 46% that thinks he might have. We got a president who roughly half the nation thinks would use that to promote his own agenda, and this is after he's been caught. And they're waving a flag like, well, hey, the country's divided. Well, Christ, even the people that hate Bush might think he wouldn't do that, but no. Roughly half the country thinks Bush is just the type of guy to do that. He stole his way into power, and now he's in power. He doesn't want to give it up. There's never been a man on this planet with as much power as Bush has, and he's not going to give it up without a hell of a fight. Are we going to have tanks in the streets come November 3rd?
Last Friday, I had the experience in Detroit of hearing President George Bush make a speech. And in the speech, he asked certain questions. I hope he's watching tonight. I would like to answer your questions, Mr. President. We fought to establish the freedoms of America. The first person to die in the Revolutionary War is buried not far from here, a black man from Barbados, named Crispus Attucks. In 1964, Fannie Lou Hamer and the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party stood at the Democratic Convention in Atlantic City fighting to preserve voting rights for all Americans and all Democrats regardless of race or gender. Hamer's stand inspired Dr. King's march in Selma, which brought about the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Tonight, we stand with those freedoms at risk and our security as citizens in question. I have come here tonight to say the only choice we have to preserve our freedom at this point in history is to elect John Kerry, the President of the United States. We were told that we were going to Iraq because there were weapons of mass destruction. We lost hundreds of soldiers. We spent $200 billion at a time we had record state deficits. And when it became clear that there were no weapons, they changed the premise for the war and said, no, we went because of other reasons. If I told you tonight to let's leave the fleet center, we're in danger. And when you get outside, you ask me, Reverend Al, what is the danger? And I say, it don't matter, we just needed some fresh air. I have misled you, and we were misled. With the prospect of, in the next 4 years, that two or more Supreme Court justices' seats will become available. This year, we celebrated the anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. This court has voted 5-4 on critical issues of women's rights and civil rights. It is frightening to think that the gains of civil and women's rights and those movements in the last century could be reversed if this administration is in the White House in these next 4 years. I suggest to you tonight that if George Bush had selected the court in 54, Clarence Thomas would have never got to law school. of America, we cannot look at the Latino community and preach one language. No one gave them an English test before they sent them to Iraq to fight for America. Mr. President, as I close, Mr. President, I heard you say Friday that you had questions for voters, particularly African-American voters. And you asked the question, did the Democratic Party take us for granted? Well, I have raised questions, but let me answer your question. You said the Republican Party was the party of Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. It is true that Mr. Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, after which there was a commitment to give 40 acres and a mule. That's where the argument to this day of reparations started. We never got the 40 acres. We went all the way to Herbert Hoover, and we never got the 40 acres. We didn't get the mule, so we decided we'd ride this donkey as far as it would take us. Mr. President, you said would we have more leverage if both parties got our votes. But we didn't come this far playing political games. It was those that earned our vote that got our vote. We got the Civil Rights Act under Democrat. We got the Voting Rights Act under Democrat. We got the right to organize under Democrat. Mr. President, the reason we are fighting so hard, the reason we took Florida so seriously, is our right to vote wasn't gained because of our age. Our vote was soaked in the blood of martyrs, soaked in the blood of Goodman, Cheney, and Sumner, soaked in the blood of four little girls in Birmingham. This vote is sacred to us. This vote can't be bargained away. This vote can't be given away. Mr. President, in all due respect, Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale. And I wanted somebody in my community. I wanted to show that example as I ran for president. I hope that one child that come out of the ghetto like I did could look at me walk across the stage with governors and senators and know they didn't have to be a drug dealer. They didn't have to be a hoodlum. They didn't have to be a gangster. They could stand up from a broken home on welfare and they could run for president of the United States. I live in New York. I was there September 11th, when that despicable act of terrorism happened. A few days after, I left home. My family had taken in even a young man who lost his family. And as they gave comfort to him, I had to do a radio show that morning. When I got there, my friend James Ntume said, "Reverend, we're going to stop at a certain hour and play a song, synchronized with 990 other stations." I said, "That's fine." He said, "We're dedicating it to the victims of 9/11. I said, "What song are you playing?" He said, "We're playing America the Beautiful." In the particular station I was at, they played that rendition sung by Ray Charles. As you know, we lost Ray a few weeks ago, but I sat there that morning and listened to Ray sing through those speakers, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for ample ways of grain, for purple mountains, majesty, across the fruited plain." And it occurred to me as I heard Ray singing that Ray wasn't singing about what he knew. Because Ray had been blind since he was a child. He hadn't seen many purple mountains. He hadn't seen many fruited plains. He was singing about what he believed to be. Mr. President, we love America. Not because of all of us have seen the beauty all the time. But we believed if we kept on working, if we kept on marching, if we kept on voting, if we kept on believing, we would make America beautiful.
That was one of the best political speeches I've ever heard. One of the most inspiring speeches. Had to make your skin tingle. Had to bring tears to your eyes. And how did the dirty, nasty whores at CNN treat this?
Al Sharpton was supposed to speak for 6 minutes. He wound up speaking for about 20 minutes. Judy Woodruff.
Al Sharpton just hijacked this convention, at least this part of it. I would have to believe that the Kerry campaign is glad that this is not in prime time. It's after 8 o'clock in the East Coast, but it's not in the later part of the evening when more people are tuned in.
We don't use the C word on Bart Cobb Radio, but this would be one of those times if we did. Can you believe she called that a hijacking? And she also said, Kerry has to be so thankful that the nation didn't hear that. Thank God it wasn't on in prime time. Oh, thank the Lord that only a little bit of damage was done. Thank God that more people didn't hear this. Oh, my gosh, it must have been the worst thing this stupid whore has ever heard in her life. Judy Woodruff, this is the same woman that said, the families must be tortured. When the first reports of the missing Marines in Iraq came back, the stupid cow got on TV and said this must be torture for the families when their sons and daughters were kidnapped by the Iraqis. What an idiot. How did they put a microphone in this slut's hands? How in the world did she arrive to such prominence on a big network like CNN when she shoots her mouth off like this? What an idiot. She just called that a hijacking and was glad that more people didn't get to see it. She was happy that people were prevented from saying that. Judy Woodruff, my God, going to hell is too good for you.
Cop Radio. If you don't know, we're not going to tell you.